You've arrived at episode 484. Do you have symptoms that never really go away? Or if they do, they always come back soon. Things like weight gain, fatigue, gut issues, brain fog, sore joints, and even actual diseases. In some instances, cancer, or type 2 diabetes, or IBS, or IBD. It could be a whole list of things, but whatever ill or ail you have in your body, this is on some level an inflammatory process, and it means that on some other level, your mitochondria, which are the powerhouses of your cell, the place you get energy from, it means your mitochondria are not functioning correctly. And many natural health professionals, just like today's guest, the founder of USA's largest nutritional healing center, they believe all health problems are due to dysfunctional mitochondria. And so in this episode here, we talk about how vitamin B1 can fix your mitochondria and therefore reverse a plethora of symptoms and illnesses. Not just that, but we also talk a little bit about lab tests, which give you your own longevity slash mortality rate based on your health markers. And we touch on the relationship between cancer and parasites, believe it or not. There's so much cool stuff here, so let's get into it. Even as a scientist and nutritionist, I was secretly trapped in binge eating and hooked on sugar. And let's be real, the so-called solutions can feel overwhelming. Calorie counting, restrictive diets, weight loss pills, surgery, and even injections. I'm Matty Lansdowne, and the truth is, more nutrition facts aren't the answer. It's understanding why we eat the way we do. And you don't need to be perfect to achieve great health either. That shift changed everything for me, and now I share it here as the host of the Real Weight Loss Coach podcast, where it's my mission to help 1 million people break free from the yo-yo diet cycle for good, by bringing you the conversations that really matter in nutrition, health, and psychology. And I'm not afraid to challenge mainstream health advice when it doesn't stack up. Are you ready? Let's begin. What's up, my healthy friends? As you might know, or if you don't, you're about to know, this year it's my mission to support 500 people to achieve real weight loss. And by real, I mean dealing with what's really weighing you down and not just the number on your scale. The links are in the show notes or in the caption down below to find out if what we do can work for you. So scroll down, click the link, book in a conversation, and let's chat. So today's guest that is here with me in the studio first appeared on episode 62. That's right back in the days of two-digit episodes, which is 5 years at this point, which is just wild to me. And we're here doing it all again. So Dr. Darren Schmidt is a doctor of chiropractic with nearly 3 decades in practice. He made a decision back in 2005 that basically had his colleagues thinking he'd lost his mind. But the plot twist here is that it led him to build the largest non-insurance nutrition clinic in the entire United States. I mean, you've got to respect someone who's willing to bet everything on their convictions and wins, right? So now, after 25 years of practice and becoming an overwhelmingly amazing nutrition expert in the space, he's got some pretty fascinating perspectives on why people stay sick and how to fix that. So I'm very excited to have another conversation with this man. Plus, he's got the perfect mix of being a brilliant scientist and researcher and the practical and strategic rebel. And I love that because I can totally relate to that combination. So Darren, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
No worries at all. Just so we can set the context for people understanding what you do, in your clinic, what are the top 5 diseases that you see and work with?
So diseases being a collection of symptoms, let me answer it this way. Chronic fatigue, depression, body feeling heavy, like that's lymphatic congestion, and brain fog. And I don't know, it's, you know, hundreds of different symptoms. So we're all about fixing the body. We're not specialists in any kind of symptom, which I think is the problem with medicine, is that there's so many specialists. They've completely lost sight of healing the body. When you heal the body, all these symptoms go away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's always been the limitation of Western medicine, is that they focus on a single organ or a single set of symptoms that give this diagnosis or this status. And I think people wear that status as a bit of a label, an identifier that says, I have this. And some people enjoy that they have that title, which is
right. It gives them, you know, social clout and stuff, or victimization, victimhood. But, you know, throughout my career, so I quit taking insurance in 2020 and I quit taking new chiropractic patients soon after that. Mm-hmm. So here it is, 2025, and it's all nutrition. And I've been looking for patterns. I've been looking for commonalities and or common denominators. Why are people sick? Why is it that somebody has, you know, brain fog, depression, hormonal issues, and their calves hurt? Like they have a deep ache in their calf muscles. What is going on with that person? I see that pattern a lot. So then I got sick in 2016 from mold. I was in a moldy office for 13 years, and I got those same symptoms. And it's like, wait a minute. Okay, so mold is causing the same symptoms that everybody else gets from their bad diet or from some kind of toxicity or chronic infection like Lyme. And there's these patterns of symptoms, and they come from dirty blood and not enough oxygen in the blood. And so I figured out, you know, I like to read the old medical nutrition textbooks. I have them behind me here, some of them. Mm-hmm. And back then they had this mechanism of chronic illness called lactic acidosis, which is what we now commonly talk about as mitochondrial dysfunction. So lactic acidosis and mitochondrial dysfunction come together at the same time. So that's the mechanism. So that when that mechanism is going, then you get these symptoms. Now the symptoms are caused by known factors, and it's a finite number. So it's chronic infections, toxicity, malnutrition, and then lack of organ function, primarily the drainage organs like liver, kidneys, colon, lymphatic system. So there's really 10 causes of chronic illness, one major mechanism, and then you get a bunch of symptoms. So when I talk this way, you know, patients talk to me about their symptoms as they should. And then most lab tests measure the symptoms. Most medical treatments treat the symptoms. It's rare that you have a doctor that fixes the causes. It's mostly like the foundational or functional doctors. And then it's really rare for a doctor to fix the mechanism. So those are the three things. You want to treat the causes, fix the mechanism, and then you nourish the organs to get rid of the symptoms. So yeah, that's kind of a longer answer to what who do I see? I see anybody that's ill, and then I apply these foundational principles to their health and I get them better. So therefore, I'm not chasing symptoms. And even though patients are always talking about their symptoms, as they should, I use them to track progress. You're right. But in the meantime, I'm talking to them about their causes and the mechanism.
Yeah, I like that approach because I feel like it means that you're able to service a much larger number of people, because especially when you're in the nutrition and natural holistic health space, a lot of the foundational advice that we would give to people in order to change is going to be the same across many symptoms and many diseases. It's be diet related, right, or movement related or stress related. And that advice about how to go about fixing that core issue that would benefit lots of disease states is going to be very similar.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I'm interested too, you mentioned the mitochondrial function in there. And I know that over the years, I've heard different thoughts and opinions on inflammation and mitochondrial dysfunction. What's your thoughts on all disease being a result of mitochondrial dysfunction?
That is true. But then consider why does mitochondrial function degenerate? Like, what's wrong with the mitochondria? It's the causes. So toxins, infections, malnutrition, and like lack of drainage.
Mm-hmm. Like, so do you mean detoxification?
Yeah, exactly. So drainage means your body's natural ability to clean itself out. And then detoxification means you're going in there with supplements like binders that grab on the toxins and pull the toxins out.
Yeah.
So, and there's like three major toxins. There's chemicals, metals, and then radioactive elements, such as uranium or radium. And then there's five major infections. So you got Lyme disease, which are intracellular, virus, bacteria, parasites, and then fungus, which includes mold and candida. And then you have malnutrition, which could be macronutrients, primarily protein, and micronutrients such as B1 and minerals. Vitamin B1 is, you know, super important. Not many people talk about that.
Yeah, I'm interested because I think if I'm remembering correctly, vitamin B1 is something that often gets fortified into cereals and, you know, sort of highly processed, ultra-processed foods. And it gives people the illusion that, oh, it's got B vitamins in it, or it's got fortified vitamin D in it. It's all of a sudden a health product. So why don't people talk about B1, and why is it important?
That's a great question. Why don't people talk about B1? It's because in 1934, they added it to our food. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, like bread, pasta, cereal, prior to that, those foods were just starch with nothing else. Mm-hmm. And it was very deadly. And there were kids at the age of 9 and 10 years old having heart attacks from beriberi, which is vitamin B1 deficiency.
Yeah.
So in 34, they added B1 to all these processed foods. And within a few weeks, within a couple months, really, heart disease was diminished significantly. The beriberi style of heart disease. And it was noticeable. And then the medical, you know, the public health people were like, okay, great, we're done. Moving on. What's the next thing we're going to tackle? So in the meantime, we still have what's called high calorie malnutrition. So lots of carbs, you know, high calories, but lack of micronutrients. So here's this amazing book. It's called Thiamine Deficiency, which is B1. Mm-hmm. Thiamine Deficiency Disease, Dysautonomia, and High Calorie Malnutrition from 2017. And trying to bring back to life this idea like, hey, we need more B1. B1 deficiency is endemic. And I have books behind me. I have 6 books from 1929 to 1955 talking about how crazy important it is that people get a lot of B1 and how it's deficient in our diet. So this is not a new thing at all. The other reason why people don't really talk about B1 is because it's almost like everybody has it. Like, you know, you go to a store and they have it. They, you know, regular vitamin brands, like generic bulk brands, they have B1.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have specialty brands with like herbal combinations that are trademarked and they spend a lot of money promoting that, they don't talk about B1 because it's not part of their repertoire or not part of their catalog. So when I've done that, I've given a lot of lectures for supplement companies and I never talked about B1 until last year at a gas leak at my house, which I didn't know. It was outside my living room window. And so depending on the wind, if it blew into the house, I felt terrible. And if it wasn't windy or if the wind was blowing that way, I didn't feel bad at all, but it accumulated. And so it was so bad, May 18th of 2024, last year, I ended up going to the ER.
Whoa.
And I had crushing chest pain, high blood pressure, couldn't breathe, left arm numb, left leg numb. I thought I was having strokes. It was terrible.
Oh, yeah, that's awful.
Right? So they did a scan on my brain looking for a stroke and they kicked me out after 5 hours and they said, we can't find anything. Mm. So I'm like, okay. Anyways, 10 days later, I had a patient say to me that she was on B1 high dose for 4 months and all of her neuropathy was gone. And I was like, wait a minute, I have neuropathy in my left arm and left leg. Maybe I need B1. So I took it that day and within 1 hour, I was breathing much easier. And in 2 weeks, I was 95% better. So that's, you know, May 28th, I started the B1. And it kept me going okay through the summer and fall. And December 7th is when I found the gas leak. I'm telling you, if I had not taken B1, I would be dead. Okay, yeah. So it's such like a life lesson. People say to me, oh, you know, God did this to you to learn. And I'm like, well, there's got to be a better way. Come on. Like, I don't need to go to the ER to learn lessons. Just, you know, write it down. I'll read it. Just write it down.
Send it to me in the mail.
Yeah, exactly. But the point is, I realized like B1 is probably the most important nutrient because there's not a single other nutrient anywhere that would have saved my life like B1 did at that moment. Mm. And so I've read through, you know, that book I just showed you and watched some, there's only about 5 people talking about B1 on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I watched a bunch of those videos and I think B1 is the most important nutrient for humans and animals and plants.
Wow.
It's the anti-stress vitamin and it gets oxygen from your blood into your cells. It helps you make carbon dioxide. It gets the carbon dioxide out. It helps you breathe. It helps your digestion. It feeds your nervous system. And so I did a presentation then in December to 300 doctors. I was on stage for that. And there, I had 70 symptoms listed out. Mm-hmm. So even end-of-life symptoms like coma, cachexia, which is a process of dying, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, there's studies on B1 reversing Alzheimer's and Parkinson's.
Yeah.
So, you know, minor things like digestive problems, you know, to sleep apnea and insomnia, and it just goes on and on. B1 is the most important nutrient for human beings. And the other thing is, it was the first vitamin ever discovered. It was the first vitamin ever produced in a lab, or, you know, to be made, to be put into food. So it's screaming at us for 100 years, like, hey, take B1. We need B1. Our bodies only store 30 milligrams. And I was taking 750 milligrams per day for those, 6 months to saturate my nervous system, to saturate my cells. So there's my story on B1.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It makes me think, I've had a few conversations with Dr. Stasia Gomanak. So she's a sleep doctor from the US that no longer works in the medical industry because they didn't like her doing everything nutritionally. Surprise, surprise. But she talks about the fact that B vitamins are called B vitamins for the fact that they are bacterially derived from our microbiome. And so my question then on the basis of that idea is it a B1 vitamin deficiency in the modern diet, or is it the lack of biodiversity in our gut that is producing a correct amount of B vitamins or B1?
I think it's a destruction of B1 in our bodies. And what destroys it is any coffee, alcohol, and tea. So coffee and tea have tannins. Okay, alcohol is a mitochondrial poison. Any kind of external poison. Like I had the gas leak, but, agricultural chemicals, plastic, a lot of parasites cause B1 deficiency, infections cause B1 deficiency. So like our environment is surrounded by things that deplete B1, like raw sushi, raw fish has what's called anti-thymidinase, which is an enzyme that breaks up B1. It destroys B1. So in Japan and other countries like that, where they eat a lot of raw fish, they had beriberi for going back hundreds of years. Like there's medical journals going back to the year 900 saying, why are these people dying? We got to figure it out. Even in the 1700s, they didn't quite get it yet. So The fact is, maybe our microbiomes are so messed up, our bodies can't make enough B1. That's probably true too. But the point is, we have to saturate our bodies with B1. And there's water-soluble versions and then there's fat-soluble versions that were made in Japan in the 1960s. So we want the fat-soluble versions to get them into our cells.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I'm curious, you said that it's taken up by toxins. So does that mean B1 naturally acts as a detoxifier?
Well, no, B1 is in charge of 5 reactions within the mitochondria, mm-hmm. including step 1, which is getting pyruvate into the mitochondria and it becomes acetyl-CoA. So step 1. So B1 deficiency is the rate limiting factor for mitochondrial function. So when you have mitochondria working again, you make a lot of ATP, then your body is now it's detoxing. Now the immune system gets stronger and you might start killing off organisms, making more mucus, blowing your nose more. People get more tired or they get more energy when the mitochondria work better. So they get more tired because the parasympathetic nervous system kicks in, mm-hmm. Rest and repair. So there's a lot of, the point is get your mitochondria working better with high doses of B1. And most people need it for about 6 months and then they're done. And so that happened with me. Remember my symptoms in May of last year were heart related palpitations, grinding chest pain, it's terrible. So I took B1 within an hour, I was breathing better. 2 weeks, I was happy. I was doing well, not perfect, but because I still had the gas leak. Okay, then in November, my heart was going like this again, grinding, chest pain, trouble breathing, heart pounding, all the symptoms came back. And it's what the heck is going on now? Well, the truth is, when you're done taking B1, your body tells you, and all those symptoms that it fixed initially, they come back. It's the only supplement that I know of that does that, where it fixes your initial symptoms. And then when you're done with that with the B1, it brings those symptoms back. So then you stop the B1 and then boom, within 2 days, you're back to normal again.
Yeah.
So that happened in November of last year for me, end of November. And just by luck on December 7th, I found that gas leak. But I was so filled up with B1, I still had that gas leak at the end of November, beginning of December, and I was still doing really pretty good.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Coincidentally, that's conversations that I've had with Stasia. She talks about the same thing in regards to B vitamins, is that, you can get to a point where things start to return.
That's nice.
Yeah. Maybe the two of you should do a podcast together.
Yeah.
I'm curious, when it comes to the nutritional aspect of B1, what kind of diets and foods are we intentionally adding in to start boosting our B1 intake?
There's not a good answer for that. So the one food that has the most amount of B1 is pork, but you have to eat like 12 pounds a day. So there's just not a good answer. That's one of the flaws of being a human on planet Earth. I think, you know, we need more B1. Luckily, we have it in pill form. Yeah. Another flaw is that our windpipe and our food pipe are close together, and sometimes people choke. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are legitimate genetic flaws that all humans have. And the fact that we only store 30 milligrams of B1 or 25 milligrams of B1, that's one of the flaws. So just,
I would also add on top of that, that it's a flaw in an industrialized, commercialized world that has so many toxins, right? Because we didn't used to have this volume of toxins that B1 needed to do the work for.
100%. Yeah. Now, there are genetic factors where people can have a lack of storage of B1 or lack of transport, you know, or lack of utilization of B1. Yeah. So those genetic factors, they could be more, they, you know, people get tested for genetic predispositions to certain diseases like heart disease, Parkinson's, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But what if those genes are more about B1? What if they're not about that symptom that your family has suffered from? Maybe it's just the fact that you're not utilizing your nutrients, especially B1.
Yeah, it's the genetics of the B1 metabolism rather than the genetics that cause the health issue.
The symptoms, the disease. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. I'm curious going into the diet stuff a little bit more. It feels like a necessary question to ask everybody in this world, which is, where are you at in diet protocols, you know, vegan, keto, carnivore, all of that kind of stuff? Because in the last 5 years since we've spoken, you know, carnivore has gone wild, and the fads that appear on Instagram that a lot of our clients, you know, see and try and do, like, there's so much going on and it moves at such a rapid pace. Like, where are you on that diet conversation in general?
That's a really good question. So making sure that we're answering this question, where am I at now as opposed to 5 years ago, right?
Because
the changes have occurred. So I was a big proponent of keto from 2015 to 2018, then I went carnivore in 2018. I'm still a fan of carnivore, still a fan of low carb, that's for sure. I've purchased 5 loaves of bread since 1999. That's it. I never buy rice or pasta, no grains. So, but let's talk about ketosis. So there was a study from Virta Health, which is a private group out of Indiana, and they had over 300 people in ketosis every day. And over the course of 2 years, their blood glucose dropped. They got off more drugs than anybody else compared to any other diet. So I've been promoting ketosis for type 2 diabetes and a lot of other conditions, which is still a valid, you know, point. Now that 2 year study became 5 years. And guess what? All those stats came right back up. Like their A1C, you know, it dropped over 1 point or more. I forgot, 1.4 points. But then it just went right back up. Same thing with veganism, but with veganism, the A1C dropped and then it came right back up in 18 months. Whereas with the keto diet, it was 5 years. But the point is they both came back up, the A1C. What are these diets missing? The answer is B1. Now, I had a guy.
Really?
Yeah, check this out. This guy, type 2 diabetic for 25 years, and his father owned a bingo hall when he was a kid. And so his dad would give the keys to this candy store to his children, and they would just eat a ton of sugar. Okay, so there, now he's got type 2 diabetes. He's in his 60s now. His glucose was 250 and higher and not really controlled. And he went keto, carnivore, and it dropped down, but then it came back up. And I thought, okay, we're missing something. What are we missing? Maybe he's got an infection in his teeth because infections can make LDL go up and glucose go up, and it looks like diabetes, but it's an infection. So, but he did a scan of his teeth. He had no infections anywhere. So then it's like, what's next? Well, that's when I found B1 for myself. And I said, you got to take B1. Here's this product. It's called benfotiamine. Take 750 milligrams a day. And I'm not killing. So that was June of last year. So it's been a year. I'm telling you, his glucose now is 80 to 120. Every day it's 80 to 120. His type 2 diabetes is completely cured. It's amazing.
Wow.
So again, now I'm just saying, like, everybody's trying to fix everything with their diet. And I had that philosophy for 20 years. And I'm still strict with my patients and their diet. You got to do low carb. But now it's like, you have to take B1. Now, a lot of people on social media talk about magnesium deficiency, especially the low carbers. They'll talk about potassium deficiency, which is fine. But those minerals, they don't fix type 2 diabetes, right? Only B1 has that kind of result. And there's no herbs that have that kind of result. You see?
Yeah.
So my point is, where do I stand with diet? Okay, low carb and then B1. Now let's get a little bit more specific about diet. So I think that if I were to, change the whole food supply for the world, it would be high protein, low carb, and low fat. So here's why. Because protein maintains the structure of your body. It keeps your immune system strong, your brain strong, your bones, your muscles, your skin, everything. Okay, fat and carbs are primarily energy. Okay, they're primarily calories. Whereas protein shouldn't really have a calorie count at all, because protein is not really used as a fuel. It's used to maintain the structure of your body. So our food supply has become more fat, more carbs, less protein, with all the high calorie malnutrition, processed foods, convenience foods, that kind of stuff. So in America, RFK Jr. is trying to get rid of the high processed amount of food, right? Getting rid of red dye, and hyper palatable foods, junk food with chemicals. So when the more protein you eat, you end up eating less snacks, less convenience foods. Like you have, I just ate half a chicken for dinner. Mm-hmm. And then I've had people do this diet, high protein, high satiety diet, and they're eating 900 calories a day for 3 months, and they're not even trying to do low calorie.
Yeah.
They're just eating a lot of pure protein, and they're very happy and satisfied, and they lose weight very easily. Now, back in the 80s and 90s, and even now, dietitians will say, eat a low calorie diet. But instead of saying high protein, they say, a balance, fat, carbs, protein.
Yeah.
No, you want high protein, low carb, and low fat. So there's one website, and I'm not being paid for this, but it's dietdoctor.com.
Yeah, those guys are great.
Okay, cool. /satiety. Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to know how to lose weight without counting calories or needing to use restrictive diets? Turns out the answer is on Instagram. You might be interested to know that over 70% of our paying clients begin their journey with a weight loss goal. Most of them achieve this goal without fad diets and without calorie counting. And in the process, they also rewire their brains to stop craving sugar, and they stop their secret binge eating sessions without the need to use loads of willpower. Why does what we do work? Because the fat that you want to lose, it isn't just about the calories you're consuming. It's actually wild how differently we do things. We work on your mind and your body gets better. And I think more people need to know about how we can do this for you too, which is exactly why I'm back on Instagram as The Real Weight Loss Coach. If you want to know how to really drop the weight that's been holding you down, how to keep it off, and to stay healthy long into the future, then follow me on Instagram. The link to my profile is in the show notes below, or you can search for me on Instagram by typing in The Real Weight Loss Coach. Give me a follow and I'll chat to you in the comments and the DMs over there. The one of the things I was going to ask you about, but in a way you've kind of touched on it there, the idea of, you said, you're quite strict with your patients in regards to their diet. And I know that many of our listeners, have probably been hunting for the secret sauce or the big mystery to solve the mystery of why can't I stick to a diet? So, like, what do you think it is that leads people to not be strict, or how do you get your patients to commit to the diet, to stay on it, to get healthy rather than that cycle of falling off, at 9 p.m. every night when they're tired and stressed and they eat the chocolate or the crisps or the chips, or like what creates a diet that is sticky?
Well, eating a lot of protein, low fat, low calorie, low carb is very satisfying.
Yes, I agree.
So then you can go longer between meals, or you could eat high protein 5 times a day, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to fast at all because you're doing more, carnivore diet style eating, mm-hmm. and you just become happier and more satisfied. And a lot of body systems and organs get better and better. Now, there are people who have Lyme disease and they're super tired at 5 o'clock at night right after work, and they go home and they crash and they're so tired they don't make dinner. Now mm-hmm. they're eating, convenience foods. Or there's people with candida or mold, or they're filled with toxins and they just feel like crap 24 hours a day. So there's these other factors that need to be addressed beyond the diet to make somebody healthy that'll help them feel healthier and not needing sugar or not needing something fast to boost their energy. So, right? Like if you can't digest chicken very well or red meat, that means you have some organ dysfunction, you have something underlying that needs to be fixed, and then you can eat those kinds of foods and get all the benefits that we're talking about.
Yeah. And this, I don't know if you would probably see this more than me, but I noticed there's an increasing amount of people that I work with that have had their gallbladders removed and they're not taking any digestive support or they're not eating in a particular way that aids digestion. And I'm always just fascinated. I always say, did your doctor give you any guidance on what to do instead? Like you've removed an entire organ from your body. And the answer is always no.
Always no. And the reason why is because the solution is a nutritional supplement.
Yeah.
Ox bile or bile salts. And so I have people take one bottle of each. They have ox bile and then they have another bottle of bile salts. And there's other supplements that have a combination of both. Mm-hmm. And then I just say, experiment with this one first and then try the other one. See which one your body likes. Some people don't need either one. Some people need both. Mm-hmm. And so I just saw a TikTok video where this guy, he's been working at an ER and he goes, I would never let anybody touch my take out my gallbladder unless I was dying.
Yeah.
He goes, I see people, they get their gallbladder out all the time and they just have diarrhea every day for the rest of their lives. I've saved people from that. I had a woman, she had diarrhea every day for 5 years. I put her on the bile salts and within, a few days it was fixed up. Mm. So I've saved people from gallbladder surgery over and over again. You got to flush those gallbladders out with supplements. Again, supplements to the rescue. I'm telling you, we carry 800 different supplements and they all do a different thing. You know, I got 25 liver products. I got, probably 12 thyroid supplements, and I got gallbladder flushers and stuff, and they all do a different thing just a little bit. And you have to know the personality of these supplements, and I give them to people and I save them from surgery. I save them from drugs. And what's really cool too, I just want to say this. So in the nutritional supplement industry, they're getting smarter and better and better. So I've been at this since, the late 90s. And just the research is better and better and the products are better and better. It's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear it. I've always been a fan of the work that you do. And to touch on something that you mentioned earlier as well, and being here in Australia, a lot of our health policies and politics and all sorts of things in different ways are influenced by the US because you guys are like our big brother that'll come and save us if anything goes wrong. And so you mentioned RFK. And so over here, all of us natural health professionals, or probably all professionals, are watching what's going on in the US with bated breath as to what RFK is doing, what's changing, and some people are saying he's been bought out already and he's not doing what he said he was going to do. And so my question for you, because I remember when we spoke like 5 years ago, you had been to some kind of government or political scenario where you spoke on changing the health guidelines and the food recommendation guidelines about low carb, and you'd spoken at this event where lots of health professionals went. So now that we're in this situation where RFK is the Secretary of Health and Human Services, like, is this a good thing? And what is he changing that you think is good, and what is he missing?
So what he's changing is the quality of the food. And so he got rid of some of the dyes, and it took him less than 100 days, which is pretty good. But the point is, it took more than 5 days because people fought him. They want, highly processed, highly chemicalized foods. Mm. And now there's more and more agreements. Like even in the ice cream industry, 90% of the ice cream manufacturers have come together. They're going to take out food coloring by 2027.
Yeah.
And so now RFK Jr. is actually going to the states and they're saying, I need the states to ban these chemicals in our food. Because if they did it at the federal level and they pass a law or they make a policy, that policy can be reversed by the next administration. But if you do it in all the states, now you have to have an army of processed food manufacturers going back to all the states trying to reverse all those laws. So he's doing it the right way. Now, regarding vaccines and shots, what he's doing there, and he's not sold out in any ways. There's no way that he's sold out. Here's what he's doing. He's an advocate of vaccines. He's an advocate of science. And the problem with vaccines now is that there's no placebo with the clinical trials. And so the placebo should be salt water. And currently the placebo is another vaccine, right? So that's not legitimate science. So that's what he's doing, is he's saying, okay, look, we're going to do real science this time. And there you go. So I'm a big fan of what he's doing, and he's got it's an uphill battle.
Yeah, I'm equally a big fan of what he's doing. And it's about time that we started trying to get the Western world healthy again, because I mean, there's so many rabbit holes that those comments could go down. But, you know, for a world that's got access to amazing medicine and we're wealthy countries and all this kind of stuff, to be the fattest, sickest and most unwell that we've ever been, it doesn't make any sense, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, but I guess that kind of frames the next question pretty well, which is like, a lot of people spend a lot of time getting blood tests from their doctors and sitting in front of medical professionals being told, but your bloods look perfectly fine. So I want to just tap into that conversation, because I know that you do things a bit differently when it comes to testing bloods and looking at lab results so that you can actually find what's going on.
Right. And I'm really excited about this new blood test that came out in January of this year. Mm-hmm. And it's called MVX Plus. It stands for Metabolic Vulnerability Index. And right now it's only available in the United States, but it's through a company called LabCorp, which is international. Have you heard of LabCorp?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So this test was originally designed to measure how long somebody would live in the presence of disease. For example, heart disease, catheterization, liver transplant, cancer. And there are six factors. These six factors that they measure are physiological factors. So it's actually measuring the function of how the body's working. Mm-hmm. And then they give you a score, 1 to 100, and you want your score to be low. So when I first ran this, and I actually was the one that got it active for the public. Mm-hmm. So I learned about it last year from a YouTube video. I started studying it, researching, and I was like, wait a minute, this is really cool. I want to run it on myself. And nobody had it available. And I contacted NASA and I called the NIH and five other labs, and nobody would run it. And then luckily I got a hold of somebody January 6th and they just turned it on. Mm-hmm. Now, and then it just instantly became available to everybody in the United States. So when I first had my blood drawn January 13th, I was still suffering from that gas leak. And I had lung pain and heart pain. I was doing better, you know, than I was in December. But so my score was 55, which is too high. And then 4 weeks later, without changing anything other than I wasn't breathing in gas anymore, my score was 31.
That's a pretty good piece of health advice. Don't breathe in gas.
Don't breathe in poisonous gas. Yeah. So my score dropped from 55 to 31. And, you know, that's awesome. So then I got it down to 26. Mm-hmm. And then you can track your mortality for the next 5 years. They have it all graphed out. The study came out in February of 2023 in the Lancet Journal. So my chance of dying with a score of 55 was 20% over the course of 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then at 26, a score of 26, my chance of dying is like 3% or 2%. So I'll live longer. And then, but it also guides you down what path you need to do to improve your health. So obviously I had toxicity, and of those six markers, one of them measures toxicity. Mm-hmm. Now, other people, they have infections and inflammation. So another marker is infections and inflammation. Another marker is malnutrition, and that includes too much sugar, not enough protein, and lack of B1. So, and I've had people where they think they have a chronic disease, like a chronic bacterial infection. I have multiple patients, right? They know they have a virus. They know they have Lyme. They know they have whatever bacteria. I run MVX on them and I'm like, you're malnourished. And then it comes out, yeah, they don't eat enough protein. They eat too much sugar. And, you know, within 4 weeks, they're better because now they're like eating more protein. Mm. Right? And it tells you like it's not an infection problem, it's a malnourishment. And then the last thing that this measures is mitochondrial dysfunction. So when there's one factor called citrate in this blood test, and the mitochondria have the Krebs cycle, also known as the citric acid cycle. So if you have too much citrate in your blood, that means it's not getting into your mitochondria, mm-hmm. and you're not utilizing it. Well, why is that? Because you're actually malnourished in the mitochondria. So there are a lot of different companies have supplements to nourish the mitochondria, you get that machinery going. You know, it's like adding oil to your engine. Then now the machinery is going, and now the body's using up citrate, and that citrate comes down and from the blood into the blood and from the blood into the mitochondria. So that's, you know, the quick and easy on this test. And over the course of time, you know, I have people that have run it 2, 3, 4 times. I've run it 7 times myself. And you can see the patterns. Like when I had a sinus infection, you know, my score jumped up because it picked up the infection. So it's been absolutely, and so it's the beginning of the end of drug-based medicine for chronic illness, because you can't fix MVX by using drugs like statin drugs, anti-inflammatory, you know, anti-inflammatory drugs. That's a temporary fix, not long-term. You know, antibacterials, antiparasitics could help, but like the biologics and antidepressants and all these other drugs, they don't fix MVX. Okay, and they studied statin drugs at Duke University, so they had people take MVX, their LDL lowered, but it didn't change their MVX, right? So their LDL went down, but it didn't improve their longevity, it didn't improve their health, according to MVX. Now, MVX is a better way of measuring longevity, better than VO2 max and fitness and BMI and telomere length, all these other factors. MVX Plus is the best way to measure longevity in the next 5 years. But here's the kicker. They also did a study at Duke where they had 4 groups of people exercising. So they had a control and then mild exercise, moderate and heavy exercise over the course of 8 months. So their insulin resistance went down, blood glucose came down, those markers got better, but it did not change MVX. So in order to fix MVX, you have to go deep. You have to detox. You got to get the parasites out, the mucus, the, you know, the heavy metals and chemicals. You have to go deep, and supplements do that. Drugs don't go deep enough. They're not smart enough. Exercise doesn't go deep enough. You have to fix your physiology. So picture this. Last year, when I had the gas leak, exercise wouldn't help me because I had the gas leak. Other people, they got 3-foot tapeworms in their gut. Exercise isn't going to help them. They got to get the tapeworms out. See what I'm saying? There are things actually more important than exercise. And it's not, this kind of stuff isn't really in PubMed, right? Like, you know, there's information on parasites and there's information on heavy metals, but to put this all together, this has been my career, 25 years of how to get people better. And I got my book here, right there. I got that published on Amazon. It's called Optimal Health. And so it's in that book. I put all the pieces of the puzzle together in that one book. And, you know, and there's a lot to it. There's a lot of story, you know, it's like a story form, right? There's not a single PubMed article that is comprehensive enough to understand MVX. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like all the ins and outs of getting somebody well. I got my 7-step blueprint to optimal health. I got, you know, so it's like a big process. It's simple and it's finite. And it's bigger than a PubMed article, but it's smaller than an encyclopedia. See what I'm saying? Like, it's in this book. The book's like 100 pages or something. It's in that book. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense. I'm curious. I'm hearing a lot these days from clients and different people asking about parasites and how common are parasites? Because different people are saying different things, like worms, parasites, that kind of thing. How common are they?
Well, when I put people on parasite supplements, they see parasites 60% of the time. But you can also have microscopic parasites. So I think most people have parasites.
And they're worth detoxing and going through a parasite cleanse to remove?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. The first person that I ever had a parasite come out of them was 2007. And I had her on some wormwood. And then she told me that she sat down on the toilet and it wouldn't come out. So she had to, you know, get the little piece of toilet paper and reach underneath there and pull it out.
I had to do that once too.
Did you? Yeah. And she put it on the bathroom countertop and it started to crawl away. It was alive. And then she put it into a baggie and she brought it into the office to show me. It was like, you know, a couple inches long.
Yeah.
It was alive when it came out. That was my first parasite, 2007.
Yeah.
Since then, yeah, just tons and tons and tons of parasites. It's crazy. And it's so ignored by regular medicine. I don't know why. I think they just took it out of our culture.
Yeah, I agree. It's weird how ignored it is. And there's so many medical textbooks that go back to 1800s as well that talk about different diseases and the parasite being one of the underlying causes. And if you get rid of the parasite, the insert disease disappears or the symptoms disappear, you know?
Yeah, cancers too.
Yeah, yeah. Cancers, totally. That's it. Whenever, because I have a background working in a cancer hospital and before I left and became a nutritionist, but I often get a lot of cancer people inquiring, and that's usually a part of the conversation I have is parasite cleansers.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I got really good supplements, which would be very beneficial, but also those drugs are really good, especially when you do many at a time, like Fenben, Menben, and Ivermectin, like all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like there's a guy named Dr. Simon Yu in Kansas City, and he does multiple like antibiotic, antifungal, antiparasitics all at the same time for cancer. Yeah.
Yeah. You need to go hard on that one, depending on the stage, yep. I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Going back to that, the testing you were talking about, one limitation that we're both aware of when it comes to reading tests is often the data range that is advised by medical textbooks or the company that does the testing. That's based on population data, and the population is, on average, very unwell. So when you're interpreting the results from the MVX test, do you have to apply different thinking to the numbers on the page to understand, like, oh, the test says you're healthy, but actually I know that this is not healthy. This is just not dead yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I've been figuring that out since it got released in January. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty confident on the numbers that I have now. So, I mean, I don't know how much detail you want, but the answer is they don't have their numbers correct.
I'm not surprised.
Right.
Yeah.
I do have to say this. So with these MVX scores, and there's really six factors and then nine indices or nine indexes. And those scores are more about an ideal. So the original score is 1 to 100 for MVX. And you could be happy at 50 if your score is 50. I wasn't at 55. And then you could be happy when it comes down to 35. Yeah. Or you could be happy when you're at 25. The lowest I've seen is 13. So The question is, like, what number can you achieve? What's your goal? You know, and shoot for it. And you might as well just try to get it as low as possible. So it's not like a set range or something. There's always like, you can make it better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well, this conversation's been great. We've gone in so many different places, which is fantastic. And I think people will love it. But where can people that are listening that want to get your book or find you or book in an appointment, where can everybody find you?
Well, starting with doctors, go to mvxtraining.com. Mm-hmm. And then for patients, my office website is thenhcaa.com. And on that website, I have ebooks and courses. Some are free, some are paid. And then my book on Amazon Kindle is Optimal Health. Just search that in my name and you'll find my book.
Fantastic.
Yeah, thanks.
I'll put some of those links down in the show notes below so that we can get more people the help they need from you and your work. And for us to round out our chat today, what is one piece of health information that you wish more people knew about?
There is a new supplement that reduces chemical plastic out of your body. And I have not yet launched it out of my practice. There are some people that are selling it, and it's called Chemzyme, Chemzyme. And when I say reduces plastic, I'm saying it reduces plastic, not the chemicals like BPA or phthalates, like this fork, like that's a piece of plastic, right? Particles, plastic particles in your body, this supplement gets rid of that. It dissolves the plastic out of your body. And it'll get rid of the plastic by 90% in 45 days. Chemzyme.
Wow. That's incredible.
So I haven't launched this yet in my practice, right? Like I have my marketing team and I have to do inventory. The other thing is that there's a new lab being built in Michigan and they're going to test saliva. And it should be open soon. So you send in your saliva sample and it counts the plastic particles in your saliva. So you do that test, take the Chemzyme, 45 days later, redo the test and see that your plastic in your body dropped 90%. That's the goal. Right now, this test is a blood test and the lab is in the Netherlands. So the way you do it is you take a metal lancet and you poke your finger which is kind of brutal. You know, you can't use like the plastic plungers because the plastic will contaminate the sample.
Of course.
Right. So, yeah, this guy that owns this lab in the Netherlands, he lives about 40 minutes north of me in Michigan, and he's opening up his lab there in Grand Blanc, Michigan. So by the time this video launches, that you're hopefully, I'll personally have this all going on, but anybody can go on the internet and look up Plastic Tox. I think it's right. plastictox.com. And then Chemzyme. Just search for Chemzyme. Yeah.
Awesome. How fascinating. Right? What an interest. I didn't expect that. On a
I know.
Piece. That,
yeah.
I mean, why I asked the question, you know?
Yeah. Like it's fascinating. And it's like so quick and simple and so cheap. Again, supplements to the rescue, right? There's no drug that does that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Darren, thank you so much for being on the show and dropping all of your knowledge and sharing your wisdom. I really appreciate the work you do and your time and energy. And hopefully we can make it less than 5 years before we hang out again.
Yeah. Maddie, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks, mate. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learned anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast, simply find the main page of the show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.